Is from Acts chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Paul ashore in Malta. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself onto his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honoured us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with supplies that we needed.
The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they travelled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. And when we got to Rome, Paul was encouraged to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected. So I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus.
"Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all the people who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught the Lord Jesus Christ."
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our final study in the book of Acts. And as you will have heard from the readings, we're looking at the final chapter, Acts 28, in 3 different sections. If you have your Bible, it would, I think, be helpful if you could turn to Acts 28 with me and we'll follow through together. Last week we saw, thanks to Debbie's very good description of the events of the shipwreck, how Paul landed on the island of Malta and the dramatic events that surrounded that shipwreck. And so today we continue that understanding journey of Paul and his companions. We see in verse 2 the welcome that Paul and his companions receive. In verses 3 to 6, the incident between Paul and the snake, and then what happens as a consequence to Paul healing Publius's father and the response of the people following that incident. For Paul and his companions, The welcome they received from the people of Malta is illustrative of the way in which so many respond in times of crisis, with kindness, generosity, and a willingness to help. The people of Malta received Paul and his companions and welcomed them to the island. Their welcome was unexpected, but heartwarming, and must have given them hope. In these past few days, we have seen a similar response to the request by the NHS for volunteer help to care for those most vulnerable in the coronavirus crisis. An amazing response from people wanting to help and assist. What a lovely illustration of human care and compassion. So, returning to Paul, we see that after the incident of the snake, verses 3 to 6, that the people thought Paul was a god. And in verse 10, after the healing of Publius's father, they showered Paul and his companions with honours and indeed with what they needed in terms of provision for their onward journey. It appears that even though they're in a place of genuine hardship, Paul and his companions knew that the Lord was with them. And this is underlined by the healing of Publius's father and the generosity of the island people. Here in Publius, we find another Roman official who finds that Paul is a trustworthy and reliable person. As Tom Wright comments, the sea and the snake have done their worst and are overcome. New creation is happening, and the powers of evil cannot stop it. So, how do we translate this to our own situation? In our familiarity with the book of Acts and the events described in Acts, I think we can miss, or indeed overlook, the fact that for Paul and his companions, these are actual events in real time and happening as the adventure continued and unfolded, unforeseen and unheralded. They have no idea as to how the islanders would react or how Publius would respond to the healing of his father. They simply had to trust the Lord in each step and do what they sensed the Holy Spirit was asking them to do. So, for ourselves, as we face the worldwide pandemic of COVID-19 and its effect upon our nation and upon our everyday lives, we don't know the eventual outcome or how the Lord will respond to our prayers. We have to journey on in trust and in faith. Perhaps in the future, we may be able to look back and see clearly what God was doing at this time and how amazing answers to prayer unfolded along the way, and how people's lives were changed as a result. However, like Paul, we too can know that the Lord is with us, even in times of hardship. We have his promise that he will never leave us. We too know that the Holy Spirit abides within us, and that our Heavenly Father knows our every need and has promised to provide. Have a look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. Just as hard circumstances didn't shake Paul's faith, so we too can be given strength to keep going in our faith, even through difficult circumstances. We too can know that the powers of evil are overcome in Jesus' name, and that the Lord can work even in the most difficult of circumstances for our good, and that the life-giving gospel we have to share. And just as Publius found Paul was a trustworthy and honest person, so we too are to be living examples of the life and love of the Lord Jesus in our own day, and are to be found as trustworthy, reliable, honest people of integrity and truth. So let's move on in our account in Acts 28 to Paul's arrival in Rome. As the adventure continues, after a three-stage journey by boat, Paul and his companions eventually arrive in Puteoli, a suburb of Naples, where some Christians invite them to stay for a week before they arrive in Rome itself. The Three Taverns was about 35 miles from Rome. And if you look at verse 15, I didn't know that a certain brewery operated so long ago. So, Paul is welcomed, verse 15. Paul meets the local Jewish leaders, verses 17 to 23. There is a mixed response, verses 24 to 28. And we end with the final scene in Paul's rented house, verses 30 to 31. Once in Rome, Paul is allowed his own private lodging, albeit guarded by a soldier, verse 16. His Jewish roots provide Paul with the means to contact the local Jewish leaders, and within 3 days he has invited them to meet him in his rented accommodation so he can explain what is happening and why he is in Rome. The response of the leaders is interesting. Clearly they have not heard anything bad about Paul himself, verse 21, but Christians have in general, to quote, are denounced everywhere. And so Paul sets a date and from his house teaches them all day about Jesus from the Jewish scriptures. He has a mixed response, verse 24. Some believe and others don't. And Acts finishes with Paul living in his own rented house, welcoming guests and continuing his gospel teaching ministry with no one trying to stop him. Well, what can we learn from this? Firstly, just as Paul found the welcome of local Christians where he went to be of real encouragement, so we too can be a source of thanksgiving and encouragement to others. As Christians, we need one another. We can be a source of strength and gratitude to God for others in these times of stress. Even in this lockdown situation because of the coronavirus, a phone call or a message from another Christian can be wonderfully encouraging. We need one another at a time like this. And I'm so grateful to everyone in All Saints and St Luke's and St Mary's who is helping to keep us in contact with each other. These closing verses of chapter 28 are also a remarkable picture of how Paul was not going to be deterred in sharing the gospel, and how he uses his circumstances to go on proclaiming the gospel with all boldness. I find this challenging. And these verses underline how Paul uses every opportunity to share something of the gospel message. We, in our turn, are encouraged by Paul in Colossians 4 and verse 5 to make the most of every opportunity, and Paul leads us by his example. However, like Paul, we too are likely to have a mixed response to our sharing of the gospel. We will have the joy of seeing people come into a living faith in the Lord Jesus, and what a joy that is. However, we will also see others for whom the proverbial penny doesn't drop, and indeed who might find offence in the gospel, and in turn, sadly, turn away. Just as people misunderstood Paul, so we might find people misunderstanding us and reading into our witness things that are not there and are artificial constructs of hearsay and prejudice. And another thought. Just as Paul used his background to make connections with the Jewish leaders in Rome, so each of us has a particular experiences, knowledge and connections that are unique to us. And following Paul's example, I wonder how we might see those experiences, connections as opportunities for the gospel. Our own mission field can provide God-given opportunities and encourages us to review how these might be and to step out in faith to see how doors might open for the gospel message. And so, with these challenges, our brief study of Acts comes to an end. However, you and I are here as Christians in 2020 because the story didn't end there. As Tom Wright concludes, Jesus of Nazareth, Messiah and Lord, through his servants, through their journeys and their trials, their pains, their puzzles and their sufferings, their shipwrecks, still reaches out into the future, out beyond Rome, beyond the first century, out across the tracts of time and geography, still confronting men, women and children, rulers, disabled people, local authorities, artisans, governors of islands, wandering tent makers, philosophers in the marketplace, and young men nodding off on windowsills. Luke has brought them all before us in a dazzling display both of writing and of theology, drawing us in, reminding us once more that this is a drama in which we ourselves have been called to participate, called to belong to the cast. The journey is ours, the trials and vindications are ours, the sovereign presence of Jesus is ours, the story is ours to pick up and to carry on. Luke's writing, like Paul's journey, has reached its end, but that end is our beginning. And so, friends, our journey of faith and trust, our journey of adventure with God, continues even in this peculiar time of the coronavirus outbreak. And our witness to Jesus in this, the 21st century, Jesus is still Messiah and Lord and is reaching out to us and through us to touch the lives of those around us in every walk of life, to bring hope, new life, and the promise of a glorious future. Let's pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Paul and his companions. Thank you for their adventure with you. Thank you for their faith and their trust as these different events unfolded. And so, Lord, we ask for ourselves that as the events unfold around us today, that we may hold on to you in faith and trust ourselves, and be able to know that you are sovereign and Lord in our day and in our generation. Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.